This is the EWN Radio Network.
She's smart. She's successful. She's an executive. She's an entrepreneur. And she's the chief executive of her story. Who is she? She's you. Welcome to the Power Lunch on EWN Radio Network. Your Power Lunch Hour, keeping you informed of women in the headlines and making their own news. And now here's your host, Mona Lisa Como.
Welcome back to the Power Lunch. I'm your host, Mona Lisa Como, bringing you the one radio show and podcast that discusses women who made the headlines and those making their own news. This week was an interesting twist and theme, as we don't normally see women in the headlines for sports. But hey, what that means is we continue to break down barriers, so we're better for it. This week's show will cover quite a bit of ground, from the top women executives in the world to women entrepreneurs, and our focus this week is women sports owners. This is not something that gets a lot of coverage, but something that sparked our interest because there are a few stories that started talking about women franchise owners in the NFL as well as in the NBA. And then we did an interesting article that we tweeted out this past week about the former Dodgers owner, who is Jamie McCord. And then it got us thinking about, well, hold on one second, there must be a lot more women business owners out there. And if there isn't, we just want to do some research on it. So that kind of led us down a rabbit hole where we found out more information and stuff that we want to share with you. Because once you start to dig into these kind of stories, you realize that they actually exist out there. You just have to pull it. So we think you'll enjoy it as well. But more of that later on our show. Before we get started, please check us out on our social media pages. We'd love to connect with you via Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Google+. Also, we've tweeted out focus on a new social media network that we've started using. And we believe this is the newest version of LinkedIn, but it's much more savvy. And we've sent out some tweets about it already, as well as on our Facebook page. It's called about.me. Literally, that's what it's called. It's not .com. It's basically a virtual business card that that you can set up via web page. For instance, mine is www.about.me/Mona Lisa Como. And it's all of the networking information you have that you've ever wanted published, or maybe you want to control who you're sending this out through to. So think about this. Right now, if you want to send people information, you have to email them your email information, you have to send them your contact information, you have to text it to them, and then you have to say, this is my name on Facebook. Well, what about.me does is you basically say, you know, you want my contact information, go to about.me/Mona Lisa Como. And then you can click on my phone number if I publish it. You could click on my Facebook page if I publish that. You could basically click on any of the social media sites that I already have. So think of it as an aggregator. It's got your picture up there. You can also put a little bit of a bio on you, things that you like. But what's so great about this is that you can share this now, whether it's on your email addresses, because you can actually use it for as an email signature, rather than having to constantly send people your information. You can even just text it, the link, and it's about.me/your name or whatever you want it. So we think it's great. You can create a network of other folks. Where this is really, really good is if you're in the arts media, if you're an author, a speaker, you're a consultant, you're a coach. This is a great way to publish your contact information without having people connect with you via LinkedIn and having to tell them all your separate sites. So you just go straight there. So we do suggest you take a look at it. We're on there as well. I think it's absolutely genius. I'm a big fan. And if you know me personally, when I like something, I'm a huge fan and I share it with people. So check it out. It's about.me. And we'd love to add you to our network. And we get nothing for this, folks. You're not doing this because we're getting a promotion from it. These people don't even know we're talking about it. And while I'm on it, another helpful tip, especially since it's the new year, for all you super busy multitasking people out there, I'm unhooked on two things that are making my life and the various hats that I wear with two separate businesses, the radio show and mentoring. This seriously makes my life super easy. The first one is a virtual calendar. It's called Schedule Once. I think I talked about it once before. I was turned on to it by Felina Hansen. She's the founder of Hera Hub. I'm noticing more companies, women entrepreneurs, executives, consultants, speakers, doctors use it. I was actually set up to meet with a board regarding, you know, opportunities, and they actually, I knew the way it looks and feels, and so I knew it was a customized Schedule Once webpage. It's basically a booking calendar that you can share with anyone. They suggest times based on what you have preset on your calendar's availability. You can say, for instance, never book a calendar meeting invite 1 hour or immediately after, give me 15 minutes. Don't book me more than 5 times in 1 day. And so it's a virtual calendar assistant, but it's actually very easy, very helpful. Schedule. I'm serious, check it out. It's schedule1.com, and then you're given a link that's really easy for you to put out. You can also put it on your about.me page, especially if you're, again, an author and a speaker and you want people to be able to schedule time with you. It's your link that you're given is super easy as well. It's www.meetme.com/your name. And that's also very simple and customized to put on your About Me page. So check that out. That's another thing that I live and die for. And the other service that I can't say enough about is fancyhands.com. This is a virtual personal assistant, 24/7. You set it up to appear to be your admin with a name and email address, and they run your tasks for you. I do have an executive admin. She's phenomenal, but there are so many things that I can't give her because they're personal in nature, and I actually feel like they're almost too menial tasks to give her, such as scheduling my kids' appointments, research items for me. For example, this past week, I doled out 24 tasks to the Fancy Hands assistants that ranged from, one, get me the best price on driver's ed for my teenager and send me the breakdown of their benefits, to two, I need an orthodontist for my middle schooler who has specials. Who can take my insurance? Can you find out if they are taking new patients? So I'm pretty specific about the types of things that I give them so that they give me back something that I don't have to keep going back and forth for. There's always simple tasks in life that you would like to get done, but somebody that needs to do it for you. They even have the ability to text, so you don't always have to email it. So I was in and I kid this not, 2 days ago, I was stuck in traffic because of horrible rain, and I sent them a text saying, hey, could you call my hairdresser, tell her I'm going to be running late, and get see what works for my calendar and hers. And of course, I already gave them my virtual calendar on schedule once, so they knew how to see where I was open. And then they rebooked it. And I wanted to do this, obviously, because I didn't want to have to try to manage my calendar and talk while I was driving. And I did this just texting once, and I even called them when I couldn't text anymore. So I think this is a phenomenal option for a lot of you super, super busy people, men and women who just need somebody else to help you out, but you don't have a second person. Check it out. It's Fancy Hands Assistance. It's actually fancyhands.com. But definitely here, folks, I'm here to also make your lives easier. That's why this is a podcast that you can download 24/7. Check it out. I do not receive, once again, any compensation for recommending these sites. These companies don't even know I'm talking about them. But definitely something to make it easier for you. Once again, that's about.me for your virtual webpage or contact card, schedule1.com for your virtual calendar, and fancyhands.com for your personal assistance. And yes, they're all very affordable. About.me is free. Schedule1, something is like, you could go like a $5 plan or $15 a month plan, and then Fancy Hands is something like, I think, $40 a month for their cheapest plan, which is 25 tasks. I've got the one that's got like 150 tasks, and I don't use it every month, but it rolls over. Trust me, it's totally worth the charge. And folks, in all honesty, the next generation will get more done because they are using all this new technology. Make your New Year's resolution to try to help you become more effective and reduce stress. And we will post all of this on our webpage so that you can, and tweet it out so that you have this information. So let's get back to women in the news. Before we go back to women in business, I have to ask you, what do you all think about Adele? Is she not fabulous? Well, I know that everybody's been hearing quite a bit about her. I just have to play her song. Isn't it just great? So she was most recently gotten the news for many things because of her show. But I'm sorry, her most recent song, Hello. But most recently she was on a show with James Corbin. He's a British, kind of like a Jimmy Fallon type. And I'm not kidding. If you haven't seen this, we're also going to put that out there for you folks. You absolutely have to see this. If you love Adele, you're absolutely going to love her even more on this episode of, and I'm playing a little bit in the background. His name is, again, James Corden. All you have to do is type, if you're not on our pages following us, you actually look for it on YouTube, or just Google, say, Adele Carpool Karaoke, and you'll see this. And what I love so much about this is that there's an absolute more personable side of Adele that you don't see. She's very affable in this. She's very comfortable. And the other thing is, you actually see the range of talent that this woman has. It is unbelievable. She talks about the other celebrities that she likes and musicians. I mean, her carpool karaoke with James Corden went viral to the point where she had Nicki Minaj in tears because Adele in this karaoke actually... she raps out one of the lyrics from Monster. I haven't heard the song. I hear it's pretty vulgar. But Adele does a phenomenal job and absolutely just wrapping it. And you wouldn't even think that about her, given, you know, you think of her as something different in terms of she's more of a soul singer, she's more sultry, she's more serious, but there's definitely a lighter side to her. I do encourage you, if you're looking for something to make your day, something to make you laugh, look at Adele's Carpool Karaoke. Again, we're going to post that out there again for you to take a look at. So I've talked to you about what's going on in terms of Adele and maybe trying to find more things for you to do to make yourself more successful. I think it's time for us to get to women in the news. So let's kick off with women executives who made the headlines. And this week was pretty busy, I think, because it's January. And there's, you know, companies not only with earnings come out because it's the fiscal year earnings. Most of these companies have a fiscal year end that ends 12/31. And so we're going to start seeing more headlines of executives talking about their earnings. And so it's also a great time for the 22 women who are CEOs and chair to get exposure, but it's also another thing to hear about other women executives that are moving and shaking in the industry. So we're going to start off with PepsiCo's Indra Nooyi. If you don't know her, PepsiCo's Indra Nooyi, she is the second for Fortune's most powerful women in the world. She runs the second largest food and beverage company in the world. She's the 60-year-old CEO and chair. She received her MBA from Yale in 1980, and she made the news this past week because she is now the most famous graduate of Yale Management School of Management. She's been a big proponent of Yale School of Management since she left. She's always been known to give donations. Well, this past week, the news headlines went pretty viral, especially in India as well as in the United States, for all the Yale alumni, because she is now the largest alumnus donor. Interesting enough, she did not want it disclosed as to how much she donated, but it is the largest that the Yale School of Management has ever received. And she endowed the school with the deanship at the school. The chair and CEO of PepsiCo has made the donation for an undisclosed sum, and I'm reading from Financial Times, in recognition of what she calls the fundamental understanding that leadership requires an expansive worldview and a deep appreciation of the many points of intersection between business and society. Ms. Nooyi graduated from Yale in 1980. Well, Edward Snyder is the inaugural Indra Nooyi Dean. So her endowment is for the deanship. Edward Snyder is the first dean. He's very honored. Professor Snyder joined Yale as the dean in 2011, was recently appointed to a second five-year term at the school. Since 2012, he has spearheaded the formation of the Global Network for Advanced Management, which comprises 27 business schools from around the world. It's pretty impressive. These include big brand-name schools like INSEAD, Berkeley Haas, Funden, Fudan, and HEC Paris, as well as school in emerging markets in Africa, the Middle East, Asia. This is not the first time, again, that PepsiCo CEO Indra has donated to the school. There's already a classroom named after her following another substantial gift. She has also been a member of the Yale Corporation, and that's a governing body and policymaking body for the university. So if you type in Indra Nooyi, you'll see everything. We've tweeted that out as well, and you can follow some of our stories. If you like Yale, if you want your children to go to Yale or grandkids, definitely something to see what Indra's done for that school. Next on our list is the number three most powerful woman in the world. Of course, she made headlines. IBM's Ginni Rometty, the Big Blue. She made the headlines, which I thought was very interesting because we don't really think of IBM Big Blue as innovative. And I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with CES. CES is the Consumer Electronics Show that happens every pretty much early in the year. This year it was in January, just last week, in Las Vegas. And if you're into gadgets, the CES is basically the go-to conference in Las Vegas every year, where all companies, whether they're automaker companies, like last week we talked about Mary Barra launching the new Bolt car, which is their electric car, or you talk about gadgets just in general. But the newest technology is always presented at CES. It also gives companies an opportunity. So if they're looking for dealers, if they're looking to be picked up by major corporations, so say it's just a small company that really has some great technology, their goal is always to get to CES. Well, Ginni Rometty was there this past week, and she's doing something that is a little different than what you expect. When you think of IBM, you think of servers, you think of a number of things that are not considered high tech. I'm in the financial services industry, so when I think of IBM, I think of servers. I think of their major consultants that came and deal with technology infrastructure. They're world known for this. Well, The whole point of her going back to CES this year was to show that there's a different side to IBM. They are pivoting back to the consumer market, and they abandoned the consumer market more of a decade ago because when they spun off their PC business. For those of you that follow IBM, they used to have the PC business. It used to be IBM. They spun off Lenovo. And by the way, right now I own only Lenovo's / Samsung, so a huge fan of the IBM infrastructure that kicked off the Lenovo. Well, IBM aims to be a player in the emerging world of connected kitchen appliances and fitness monitors. Get this. I think you guys are going to enjoy this. Well, the plan is to use IBM's artificial intelligence and data analytics technology, which they have, to make such devices more useful. According to Ginni Rometty, who's the CEO and chair of IBM, Ms. Rometty made her pitch on Wednesday to the attendees at the CES, the annual Las Vegas Technology Convention, where many of these next-gen products were unveiled. Ms. Rometty unveiled new software built in concert with Under Armour that takes fitness data from Under Armour's network of 160 million app users, customized workout plans with IBM's Watson AI engine. And if you don't know who Watson, if you've heard about it, Watson is the AI engine or artificial intelligence that basically, I would say, is the first Siri. IBM really created that technology that was that robotics that came back. Watson now offers coaching through Under Armour's app for consumers using certain products. Now, here's the cool thing. So Under Armour also unveiled. So IBM is really the technology behind Under Armour. I would look at Under Armour as more of they're the means to which they get it to mass production, whether it's in, they're doing a couple of things. So first, Under Armour is launching something called Health Box. It's a kit that includes a chest strap that monitors your heart rate, a wristband, and a circular scale. The fitness wristband has a unique design. It makes it comfortable to wear all day, which is good. Even while sleeping, the touch screen is also very discreet. It's a little expensive though. HealthBox will retail for about $400 and it's in pre-order right now. The other thing that's even more interesting that Under Armour is launching with IBM is the first smart shoe. And unfortunately, ladies, it's not a high heel. It's a tennis shoe. The Speedform Gemini 2 will store data so wearers don't need to wear another device to track workouts. The shoe does it itself. The shoe will be available at Under Armour's website and specialty stores starting February 29th. So it's still a couple more weeks. But I think what you're seeing is that you're seeing more data. And if you're not familiar with a lot of the terms that people are saying, big data is really what's going to drive the next generation, because the more you know about your customers, your consumers, your clients, the better you can anticipate what time of needs that they have. So IBM is taking that technology and saying, well, hold on one second. You don't just need to know that about a technology or, you know, like Google, for instance. You could actually apply big data to wearable technology, whether that's the wristbands, kind of like the Fitbit technology, or the shoes. Now they're bringing it to something that I thought was even more interesting. They are also bringing it to the kitchen. Yeah, the kitchen. So they're launching something called with Whirlpool called Cognitive Cooking. And Watson, their AI robot, is also going to, it's going to offer learning and machine learning and receipts from Bon Appetit magazine and will suggest dishes to whip up from a set of ingredients. So basically what they're experimenting with is your ability to maybe go to your oven or your refrigerator, and this technology, and I can't even fathom what it's going to look like, will basically suggest to you, well, in your refrigerator, you have the ingredients that could help you make lasagna. Or you can make a cake. Isn't that crazy? So Chef Watson, that's something that they're going to launch in conjunction with IBM. The other thing that they're launching, which to me has even more significant impact, and this is where intelligence, data, and technology really can help the world in a better place, is they're actually working with Merge Healthcare. They've invested close to $30 billion in the ability to actually see if they can help with healthcare. And so one of the things that they're looking to do is be able to tell you if, for instance, that your insulin is too high. So they're going to take the data. So the Fitbits that we were talking about, I call it a Fitbit. That's just my way of you know, it's kind of like Kleenex rather than tissue paper. They'll take these Fitbit type of devices, these wearable devices that you have on your wrist, or whether you're wearing it on you physically, because you could strap it onto you, and they will take your they'll take the diagnosis of what's going on of real time, feed that to a machine, and then also give back to you like alerts saying, hey, your insulin's getting a little bit low. And it's more real time. The other thing that makes it great is they're saying that for those that are insulin needle users, they're trying to find ways to use IBM's Watson information and robotic technology so that you won't have to prick yourself, that there's something else that you could do or it could help balance your insulin. Whatever the case, it's a great news. Kudos to IBM because this is something that we definitely need. And the other thing I think that's really exciting to hear about it is, folks, this is a woman that's at the forefront of this. So that's interesting to hear, but it's also very exciting. Let's move on. We have a ton more women to cover. And I'm a little bit behind. Facebook's Sheryl Sandberg. She's number 8 for most powerful women in the world for this year. She just donated $31 million, made the news. Facebook's Sheryl Sandberg has donated 290,000 shares of Facebook. That's a stock market value of roughly $31 million. She's donated it to a myriad of charities. It's actually going into her own charity, which is called the Sheryl Sandberg Philanthropy. And it's a donor advised fund that will take control of the stock from Sandberg, but it allows her to advise and steer the money towards charities that she cares about. She actually did this on November 20th, but it was only disclosed through the SEC this past week. The money is earmarked for certain kinds of charities that Sandberg has actually donated to in the past. The majority of the $31 million will actually go to women's empowerment groups. For those of you that are part of Lean In, this is where you're going to see a lot of that funding. That's the nonprofit that was founded by Sandberg. And then she's also looked at other ones that Stand Up for Kids campaign or the Second Harvest Food Bank of Santa Clara and San Mateo County. So there are some other groups that are anti-poverty and education, but majority of that's going to go to women's empowerment, which is, yay, great for us. Sandberg has also donated in the past. She actually has signed what's called the Giving Pledge. If you heard about this, it was back in 2014 where the world's not super wealthy, but hyper crazy wealthy. They signed a pledge to dedicate the majority of their wealth to philanthropy over their lifetime. Mark Zuckerberg and his wife Priscilla Chan were one of the folks that also signed that, hence them donating all of that stock when their daughter was born. Sheryl has signed the pledge, and this is her way of giving back. So congratulations to Sheryl for making that donation, $31 billion to the Facebook charity. Next on the list, and we're going to, unfortunately, these next updates, women are in the headlines, but a little bit more of a struggle. Irene Rosenfeld, she's the CEO of Mondelez. So they've been under scrutiny. Mondelez International is, they own brands like Oreos, Trident Gum, and Cadbury. Irene Rosenfeld, the CEO, she helped engineer the company's 2011 spinoff from Kraft. So she has an activist investor. You're going to hear me talk about this a little bit in the next three articles. She has an activist investor, one of the most well-known ones, but Pershing Capital, Dan Ackerman's Pershing Capital, grabbed about $5.5 billion of her stock. And the intent there is they want to see if they can somehow improve the earnings that Mondelez has been shown. So Irene, while she is ranked number 10 in the world, she's actually very influential. The company that she's leading is actually struggling. Slowdowns in the markets like China and the rising dollar has really stalled some of their growth. It's forced Rosenfeld to shift her focus from revenues to costs. So instead of working on the growth of the company, she's really had to focus on giving analysts as well as activists, just investors in general, her blueprint of how she's going to reduce expenses, and that's been really difficult. She's also had another activist investor, Nelson Peltz, who holds a 3% stake and a board seat on her company. She had made a vow to him to shed a $1.5 billion in annual expenses and bring Mondelez's margins in line with those of other big food companies. Well, while investors are excited, she was in the news this week because Crain's had posted an article regarding Irene Rosenfeld's 2016 challenge. Basically, the gist of it is there's not a lot of, well, I wouldn't say a lot of faith, but there's definitely concern that she won't be able to pull it off because she has a lot of headwinds given what's going on in the market. Brazilian buyout firm 3G Capital, backed by Warren Buffett, is rumored to want to shake up the packaged food industry with cost cutting because they acquired Heinz in 2013, which then merged with the ketchup maker with Kraft. And based on the results at Heinz, observers figure the combined company will post operating margins above 20%. So she's got to prove that she can do this. We'll see if she can, but she made the news this past week. Irene Rosenfeld, CEO at Mondelez. Hopefully she can pull out some cost-cutting techniques, but this year is going to be a pivotal year. The last year or so, they've been asking and looking to her and her leadership to see if she can improve the stock and improve the earnings. Not been so. So this is the year where analysts and activist investors are saying, you've got to show up. Another CEO who's actually under fire, Ursula Burns. She is the CEO of Xerox Company. She's actually the first African-American woman to ever have, she's the first African-American chairman and CEO of Xerox. And she's actually the first Black American woman to ever head a Fortune 500 company. So we've talked about her in the past. Ursula is very, very well known. She's number 17 on world's the top world's most powerful women in the world. Unfortunately, she's under the same pressure that Irene Rosenfeld is, because another activist investor who's far more popular, Carl Icahn, bought about, I think, 7%. He bought quite a bit of stock in Xerox, even though they've plunged 31% in a year. The market continues to put pressure on the copier's shares as questions about its viability in Indian public corporation. Xerox has dropped 30%. The one-year slide represents skepticism about whether Ursula can actually turn the company around. She's unfortunately been battling really negative wins for several quarters, and we're not just talking, this is a blip on the screen. She's held her job since 2009. One of the biggest critics of Ursula, you know, you heard me say that she's very well known. She, again, being the first Black woman to ever really ascend to a Fortune 500 company as a CEO, she's out there, whether it's Davos, whether it's, and we'll talk about Davos later, or any of these other women empowerment, Fortune 500, Fortune Most Powerful Women, Forbes Most Powerful Women, you know, Ursula's always asked to come out there and play a role in it. Well, the activist investors are saying that part of the problem, though, is that Ursula spends too much time away from the company and participating in public forums. While no one is criticizing her ethics by being focused on women empowerment, there is some concern by the activist investors that she should put more of her focus on getting the company standing and being right side up. So again, Ursula Burns, another power woman battling for her company, a Xerox, CEO and chair of Xerox. And the woman that seems to battle them all, and we know about her because we talk about her ad nauseum, but she's still in the news. And it is Marissa Mayer. Marissa Mayer is in the news again. Yahoo Investor sends her a new letter. Do not waste any more capital is the headline. If you just Google Marissa Mayer, I don't think it looks better. I've been a big fan of hers for many, many seasons now. I just don't know if it's the board or her, because, you know, in fairness, Marissa's, before she took the job, she was like the fifth. There were five CEOs before her in 6 years. But I would say with recent articles, Marissa's probably not making her life any easier. Anyhow, Canyon Capital Advisors is one of the investors. They sent a letter to Yahoo's Inc. on Thursday, Yahoo Board Inc. board on Thursday, asking it not to waste any further capital and to prioritize sale of its core business, a portion of its assets, or the entire company. Canyon Capital is a Los Angeles-based investment firm. They wrote the letter, which was seen by Reuters, who published the article, and they've been very critical on Marissa and the board itself for spending in excess of $3 billion on acquisitions, to which they said have absolutely zero to negative value in the company itself. So that was just published this past week. And then she continues, that's just one of the activist investors. The other one that she's had to fend off, my goodness, there, Silver Oak, I'm sorry, I don't see my notes here that I had it. She was actually fending it off. She has promised, unfortunately, that she will deliver sustainable shareholder value. But then you add to that the fact that, and we didn't cover this because it was right over the holidays and we took some time off, Marissa Mayer obviously just had the baby.